word on Today FM.
John Gibbons, I'm going to start by playing you a little bit of Donald Trump from the other night, and it's the bit at the end which is most relevant to you.
I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill.
Drill, baby, drill. What do you make of that, John?
Good evening, Matt. Yeah, I guess what we have to say about Trump is he does what he says, and he probably says what he does.
So, well, actually, he actually doesn't have power over interest rates. That's the Federal Reserve. But, yeah.
Well, certainly in relation to this promise, I expect him to fulfil it. We can see, for example, he's going to open up a lot of federal reserves in Alaska, for example, and a huge number of offshore licences. We can expect them to not just to be issued, but to be rushed through. So,
but that brings down the price of petrol at the pumps, which is what his voters want. And that's democracy for you, John.
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose, obviously, he did a much better job of persuading people that, to use that 1992 phrase, it's the economy, stupid. I think that the Democrats fell flat in making that case. That's for sure. They were trying to sell joy and hope and stuff, and he was basically selling that the price of a half dozen eggs has gone up in the last 4 years. So he obviously made that case more successfully. And you're right. I mean, suggesting, for example, that sort of drilling is going to drive down prices. It's a nice narrative, but it just hasn't been shown to be the case. And we've talked about this before. I mean, right now...
Sorry, more supply of oil and gas means prices come down. One of the major drivers of the American economy over the last decade or so has been fracking and the availability of shale gas, getting out the fossil fuels out of the ground that hadn't previously been available to them, and with greater then not having to import as much from around the world, being self-sufficient in fossil fuels has driven the American economy largely.
Well, Kamala Harris, in the one and only debate, Matt, you might recall, she actually brought this up, and she said that the Harris-Biden administration had pumped more fracked gas and more oil than any administration in US history. So they're kind of out-duking each other here. There's no question about this. And I could take you back to Obama making speeches about drilling more oil than any other American president and so on. So the point about this has been a bipartisan issue. One of the few things that the Democrats and the Republicans agree on is that the difference, of course, is that Biden pushed the Inflation Reduction Act, and in that he smuggled in about $1 trillion worth of green goods. And he was quite clever in doing it because he placed, 85% of the money, Matt, he spent in red states. Now, you might say that was bad politics. He should have spent them on his own people. Maybe it was. But the main thing I suggest in the background in doing that is that the idea is that it locks them in. But, for example, take states like Texas, right, which we would associate with the Ewings and oil wells. Texas.
Hang on, no, you're going a bit like Trump and Hannibal Lecter here. The Ewings are a fictional family from Dallas.
Well, Texas, or Trump is a fictional family from New York. But
no, very, very real, John. Very,
well,
very real.
I when I woke up on Wednesday morning, I was hoping that they were a fictional family from New York. But anyway, yeah. But my point, Matt, is that what is driving, for example, the energy revolution in Texas now isn't really so much oil. It's actually wind energy, right? There's a fantastic wind energy resource. And we see this around the world. The cheapest forms of energy on the grid are wind and solar. And those prices are coming down. The point really, we're obviously fracked gas is given a bit of a sugar hit to the US economy. There's no question about that. 10, 15 years ago, we were even talking about peak oil. And fracked gas has dragged that out a bit.
Remember when he first became president, one of the first things that he did was withdraw the United States from the Paris Accord in relation to climate change. You know who one of his major opponents on that was at the time? Elon Musk. Could it be that Elon Musk, in a strange way, could be the environmental salvation, in that Elon Musk has a significant financial interest in promoting electric cars to Tesla, that Trump has been scathing about these cars previously, but now that Musk is so much in his ear, and given that he owes Musk so much for the support to make him president, that we could see a reverse on his previous statements and see him actually promote the construction and use of electric vehicles.
Well, I think it's a fair observation. And I would say the thing about Trump is he's a bit like a weather vane. He tends to blow with the prevailing wind, and whichever way that wind is blowing, and a blowhard like Musk will certainly give a certain direction to that as well. It's hard to get a bead on him. He has been all over the board. So, you know, you could say he, at one stage he was considered to be a renewable energy hero.
Who's that? Musk?
Yeah, Musk we're talking about. He absolutely was. And nowadays, for example, he's a drag on Tesla because his personal reputation is putting people, especially Democrats and
share price of Tesla has shot up since Trump was elected.
Well, of course, because obviously it's part of the package deal, Matt. You could say the same about, for example...
he's actually, what he'll do is he has been given, offered this opportunity by Trump to go in and tear up regulations. That means that self-driving cars and electric cars are much more likely to be allowed on the roads, despite security fears. But even if they're self-driving and maybe even if they're dangerous, they're at least electric.
Yeah, I suppose these amazing self-driving vehicles that I think we really need to get on the roads are called buses and trains. And of course, America has only a tiny fraction of the public transport infrastructure of any modern economy in the world. So they are kind of crazily locked into this sort of privatized model of absolutely everything, whether it's healthcare, transport, you name it, it's all privatized. But yeah, I mean, to answer the question or the riddle of Musk, I mean, it's a bit like asking what will Kennedy do in health. I mean, the mind boggles. It's brainworms for everybody.
Ban vaccines, probably.
Ban vaccines. And of course, you'd probably take this to the illogical degree of saying, well, you know, we should ban the MMR, we should ban childhood vaccines, so we can expect to see a return.
See, I also think that Musk actually would fight against that. I mean, I'm in the unusual situation here of defending Musk and things, but Musk is a scientific mind. Musk looks for advances. Musk is very interested in artificial intelligence, but is very worried about the potential for artificial intelligence to actually dominate human intelligence. So it could be, I think, that Musk will actually argue with Trump against giving Kennedy any real powers over things like that. But look, that's a side issue as such. The thing is, though, that in Trump's, one of his key documents, setting out his platform for this election, said, we will become energy independent and even dominant again. The United States has more liquid gold under our feet than any other nation. It's not even close. The Republican Party will harness that potential to power our future. He's going to end any restrictions on the use of oil, gas or coal. It's not just drill, baby, drill. It's burn, baby, burn.
Sure, Matt. And some of this is so incongruous. For example, coal has disappeared off the UK grid. There is zero coal on the UK national grid. Absolutely zero. And that isn't because of some ideology on the part of the Tories. It's because it is redundant technology. It's too inefficient.
It's an economic issue.
It's an economic issue. Equally, putting coal back on the grid or pushing coal on the grid in America, it's a fantasy. And it's a weird fantasy. It's a sort of a Trumpian kind of hard hat fantasy, a kind of cosplaying of the working class. The reality is, even in states like Pennsylvania that we hear so much about, the so-called fracking states, there are more renewable energy jobs in Pennsylvania than there are in, say, coal mining, for example.
Johnny texts in to say, Elon Musk said on the Joe Rogan show this week that, quote, wind energy and wind turbines are the worst way to make energy. He also described it as a disaster of an idea.
Yeah, well, that's Elon Musk for you. And I go back to your...
But that's that's what Trump said.
Oh, sorry, Trump is
Trump said that.
Yeah, Trump has been going on about wind energies wind turbine for some time. He had this thing about that they give you cancer, number one. He made some strange noises about them. And he also suggests...
Sorry, that's Elon Musk. You're right. My apologies. Sorry, yes.
Well, actually, take your pick. But I go back to my point. Musk is basically pivoting to whatever question he's been asked. So, I mean, attacking wind energy, I mean, that's really too late. Wind energy is already an established technology and probably the only place where wind energy isn't really yet at the scale that we're seeing it in places like China is the US. For example, we have a lot of onshore wind in the US, but the offshore wind industry is still nascent. And what Trump will probably be able to do because of his own peccadilloes is to kill offshore wind by tricking up the license side of that.
Meanwhile, we have another report out today from EU scientists saying that this year will be the world's hottest on record. We've already had people texting in, don't let John Gibbons give out about the lovely warm weather we're having. The other day, November, I think it was Tuesday, I couldn't believe how warm it was. It was like being in August.
I mean, this might seem kind of fun and pleasant to have. The other night, for example, it was 20 degrees centigrade after dark in Dublin in November. Now, that's far scarier than anything that happened in Halloween. That basically means our seasons are getting upscuttled. And again, as we've spoken about many times here, we're seeing a breakdown of weather patterns that up until very recently, these were persistent weather patterns. We had reliable seasons. We had internal variability. But what we're seeing is the change in those. And the jump really, Matt, is really, it's breathtaking. The past 12 months we see are 1.62 degrees centigrade above the 1850 to 1900 average. So this is way above pre-industrial. And it's the largest jolt in the global temperature system in 8 to 10,000 years.
There's a listener here, Eamon in Kilkenny, who says, if the US is going to burn, baby, burn, why should we be saddled with green taxes to save the world? And I suspect this is an argument that will come up in our election campaign, that if everybody else is ignoring climate actions, why would we actually hurt ourselves by doing the things that will have minimal impact while everyone else is off doing the wrong thing?
Okay, that's a good point. If Ireland, for example, were a an oil producer or a major gas producer, your caller might have a point. But of course, we spend, I think it's between 8 and 10 billion euros a year, Matt, of Irish money leaves our shores, goes to foreign countries to finance imported fossil fuels. So that is a massive drain on our economy. Leave aside the health issues, leave aside the climate issues. We've got a huge pollution issue with them, but it's also an economic drain. Imagine, for example, if there was a magical technology that would allow Ireland to produce much of its own, all of its own electricity, and then to electrify our transport system, our home heating system. Now, well, funnily enough, there is that technology. It's called wind and it's called solar. And this, by the way, gives us things that, the Trumpians of this world are always banging on about. What do we want? Security, national security. At the moment, we are completely at the whim, often of dictators in far-off countries, Matt. And given the political environment that we're in now, I think it would be a super smart move for Ireland to develop energy independence.
Here's one just to finish off. You can tell that Michael Ring is an outgoing TD who's not standing for re-election, because I cannot imagine a single candidate standing for election making Michael Ring's recommendation that all cars being imported to Ireland should be fitted with technology to prevent them from reaching speeds above 100 kilometres per hour.
Yeah, I was a little taken aback by this story, and I finally found something that I would agree with Michael Ring wholeheartedly on. I think it's a good point. I think the way even cars have been marketed to us, is they're sort of like large toys. This idea, you see the marketing, for example, cars are advertised on TV on empty, magical city streets with no other traffic. What with all car advertising.
That's a good point,
yeah,
actually.
They should be forced.
There's never another car on the road with
exactly.
them, sir.
And those attractive young models they have sitting in the cars should be actually in a traffic jam, banging their horn in frustration at the people in front of them. So I think the deglamorizing, I mean, of motoring is part of the issue, Matt, because it's a sort of a charm that we've been sold.
Listener says, why does John never mention nuclear? More reliable than wind or solar would give us energy independence. In fairness, John and myself have banged on about nuclear on many occasions in this spot.
This is true, Matt, and not just that. I've said, first of all, I wish we'd built the nuclear in Carnsore Point 30 years ago. I think that was a mistake that we didn't. But if you've got a 10 billion under the rug right now, what you do is you build out wind turbines, you build out solar, because nuclear in the current environment is too expensive, takes too long.
John Gibbons, thank you as ever.
The Last Word on Today FM.